Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Higher Consciousness. This is our second show for the season. This is your host, Professor Jamila Franklin. I am so happy and pleased that we are together again. For those of you who missed the first show last week, I took a 1.5-year hiatus from my Blog Talk show. I've been on the air since 2012. And I took a break in 2019, so I was on the show, on the air for 7 years. And then I took 1.5 years off, and now I am back refreshed. I'm also thinking about being on other platforms such as Spotify and Blueberry and some other platforms. I also have a YouTube channel called Peace Be Still, and I'm thinking about uploading my shows to that platform as well. So I'm thinking about different things, and Zoom and some other things, and streaming through Facebook. I am not a fan of Facebook, but I am told by people that my show really needs to get out to a larger audience because it has content. A lot of the shows now that people are doing really are lacking in spiritual content. So mine is a show that quite a few people over a number of years have told me that they would like to see it in multiple areas. So I'm looking into that, and we shall see within the next month or so. I will see the other platforms that are viable. So just stay tuned. I will keep you posted, and I will probably do some visual things as well. Zoom is all visual, as you know. Blog Talk Radio is all audio. So, and then I might have a mix of audio and visual. So the sky is the limit. And how are you feeling now that we have gotten beyond the election, the presidential election and the election here in Georgia? We talked about that last week. I live here in Georgia. As I said, my name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am a talk show host. I am a certified Reiki master, a certified aromatherapist, a certified metaphysician, a college professor, a life coach, holistic life coach, and I've had my practice in therapy for over 30 years, and now I'm one of the leading people doing a marvelous new system called the Emotion Code, and I think it's something that can benefit a lot of people, because a lot of people this year, this past year, 2020, are experiencing PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and a lot of African Americans are experiencing post-traumatic slave disorder in addition to that, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight in terms of how racism has negatively affected all people, people of color, and other people as well. Because if you are a perpetrator of racism, like the Proud Boys are, they are negatively affected as well. So people who impose racism and the people who are the targets for racism, I don't like to use the word victims, because that puts you in a disenfranchised place, and you see yourself as not having power, and we have power, but people try to tell you that you don't. But if you are the target of racist attacks, what it does, it really, really suppresses and depresses your immune system, and that has happened to so many people, people of color and other groups as well, but people of color and marginalized groups have been the targets. And all of this is changing. So today we had a very historic inauguration. We had a very historic election last year at the end in November. And I'm going to talk about that. And so if you would like to join me in this discussion, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023, and you press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023, and press 1. And I will plug you in, and we can have a discussion. I have people already on the board, and so you can join us. And if the board becomes really full, just be patient and call back, and you can be allowed to participate. So, because of my background as a therapist and also as someone who's had my practice for over 30 years, I've decided that I wanted to definitely bring what I do, which is very unique, to the mainstream, because a lot of people really, really need to have different types of support. And mental health is a really critical area now. A lot of celebrities are coming out and talking about it, that they have felt very, very depressed, particularly during last year. Taraji J. Henson talked about the fact that she felt suicidal last year. And I commend her because she came out and talked about it publicly. A lot of people have felt that way. A lot of people are suffering from seasonal affective disorder, which means that from like October up until March, they are depressed because they're not getting enough sunlight. And so biochemically, their bodies are responding negatively or adversely to less sunlight, and they become affected negatively. But there are some things that you can do other than taking medication. I'm a holistic psychotherapist. I'm not a physician, so I cannot prescribe medicines, nor can I take people off medications. But what I do with my practice, and it's been extremely effective, is I show people that they have the tools that they need within themselves, basically, to deal with most of the issues, psychological issues, mental issues, within themselves, to correct a lot of the things that they're encountering. And I have effective techniques that I teach my clients that have been amazing. I'm going to have a show too with some of my clients who said that they would definitely like to come on to give testimonies about the practice that I've had and have fine-tuned. And it's a very, very, very highly evolved spiritual practice. It is not religious, it's spiritual. But it deals with racism, it deals with classism, it deals with sexism, it deals with all of the isms. And it lets you know that you are a divine expression of the Most High God. And I'm vegan, and so I have a plant-based diet, and I don't personally take any medications, over-the-counter medications, or any of those things. So, and I cannot tell people not to take them, but I show them how I have lived my life and how it's possible for them to eventually wean themselves off the medications with their doctor's supervision, of course, and to have a life free of outside stimulants, because your body really doesn't do well with those for the long term. People get on medications and they stay on them too long. So, but anyway, I wanted to talk about that to let people know that because of 4 years of this previous administration under Donald J. Trump, a lot of people are stressed out because of lack of jobs, being under siege feeling traumatized and seeing people in their families traumatized. A lot of people have transitioned, which means for me they've crossed over or died. I don't even like to use the word died because for me, in my perspective, you never really die. What happens is that your soul leaves the body and it crosses over to another dimension. So I very seldom use the word dies. I use crossover or transition. So if you're transitioning from this plane to another plane of existence, and I teach metaphysics, which is really showing people the true nature of spirit, not religion. So anyway, these past 4 years have been extremely traumatic for people. And so tonight we're going to talk about the change. It's a new day. We started last week with part one. So now we're going to conclude with part two. Or just continue. I may have a part three. And I was desperately trying to upload Nina Simone's Feeling Good. And I wasn't successful. I have it, but I wasn't able to upload it. So maybe next time I can. But I have a dear friend of mine, Linda Boston, who did this wonderful rendition of Sam Cooke's Change Is Gonna Come. And she has a spoken word version of it as well as singing it at the end. And it's powerful. So I'm going to play that as my outro. My intro is by NDRE. So now this election, let's talk about the election in terms of, so we're going to talk about race, politics, and a spiritual outcome. We have to stop as people of color and people, period, putting all our hopes in one person. Joe Biden is not the answer. Kamala Harris is not the answer. And for the Trumpsters, Donald Trump is not the answer. You are the answer. The creator within you is the answer. What we have now is a government that is less hostile towards people. And that's really good because the other government was extremely hostile towards people of color, towards women, towards people who had less resources. And it was interesting because 70 million people drank the Kool-Aid, the Trump Kool-Aid, and they could not see how they were undermining themselves. Most of those people who were Trumpsters, Proud Boys, Tea Partiers, or whatever, don't have health insurance, don't have jobs, are barely literate. So all the programs that he cut or that he was proposing to cut were the programs that were benefiting them. However, because of his rhetoric and the racism that he was perpetuating, they thought that those programs were going to benefit people of color, LGBT people, immigrants more than they. So they voted against their best interest. Now, racism is very interesting because for people who are racist, they are not literate for the most part. They're not clear thinkers because if they were clear thinkers, they would see that, first of all, we're all connected. And if you are attempting to disenfranchise another group or hurt another group, we're all connected spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. So, and African Americans comprise, our GNP last year was about $1 trillion. So if you're going to cut off African Americans or you decide that you do not desire to have them be financially solvent, then it means that if you're a business owner, you're going to be affected. Just think, if you had $1 trillion absent from this economy, this country would fail and fall. There's no way it could survive. It could not be solvent. So they're not even thinking logically. That's just how warped and crazy racism is. It's a mental disorder. I've told people it really needs to be in the DSM-5, I think, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. But Trump was able to speak to the lower part of most of the people, not just people who were so-called Caucasian, because there were some African-Americans, some Latinos, and some Asians who were caught up in it too. What he did is he spoke to the part of them that said, Let's be narcissistic. Let's be misogynistic if you're a male. Let's be sexist if you're a male. Let's be greedy if you have assets and money. And let's be separatist. Now, the African Americans that believed in this and complied with that were the ones that he talked about, discriminated against, and he didn't put any of them in any positions of power. Kanye West, who was one of his biggest supporters, never received even a nod from Trump. When Kanye was going on this psychological rant in his office, and I don't have a television because it tells lies using your vision, but when I saw it on YouTube, I almost cried. As a therapist, I knew that he was having a mental breakdown, that Kanye was having a mental breakdown. And Trump was just sitting there just looking at him and just saying, this man is completely crazy. And he went on and on and on and on. After all of that, giving up his power to Trump, Trump never has thrown him a bone of concession, no concession at all, absolutely nothing. He received no financial gains for any of his actions, not one. The same thing with Candace Owens. The same things with Vernon Jones. The same thing with the women in South Carolina, I think, because people have told me about these sisters. I never saw them. But not any of them. Lil Wayne got a concession in that he was able to give Trump some money so he could be pardoned. 50 Cent didn't get any. I mean, all of the people, black people, who gave away their power received absolutely nothing. Ben Carson received one of the biggest insults. This is a surgeon, a world-renowned surgeon, that he put over housing and urban development, which is the biggest insult, period. And he never deferred to him on anything. And the man had no clue about housing and urban development. So racism at its peak and in the highest office. And now, but there were still some people who could not see what was going on. There were people who were sending me text messages that were absolutely bizarre. And they were stating things like, Trump is the savior for the country, and he's going to demolish this economy, and people are going to get their power back, and he's going to give us sovereignty. Just crazy things. And then there was one person I know who sent me something from Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr, imagine that, one of the biggest racist theories. Black woman sent me something from Roseanne Barr. And some of these things were coming from people that I thought were critical thinkers, but they drank the Kool-Aid. They drank the Kool-Aid. And in all of those people, I saw one of Trump's traits in them. They were either narcissistic. All the black people that are in the Trump camp, they're either narcissistic, egotistical, very connected to money, and money colors their thinking. They are not humanitarian, and it's all about them, the crab in the barrel mentality, each one of them. If you look at all the people that you may know, they fall into one of those categories, and that's okay. They're entitled to be that way. But 2020 showed us exactly who the Caucasians, the white people were, and their thinking. So you now know. And it showed you who the black people, Latinos, and other people were. Now that there's a new day, because, see, the energy of the universe is saying you can no longer have things that unbalanced, because the universe doesn't work that way. It comes back to the center. It cannot remain that unbalanced and for us to continue. So what people did, particularly in Georgia, and like I said last week, people came out and said, enough is enough. Okay, we've protested. We've done all these things. This man has marginalized us, not only him. Mitch McConnell is really, to me, the biggest issue. He has marginalized us, so we're going to do something different. And it really, really troubles me when I hear people who look like me who tell me that they don't vote and that they are not political. So my charge to everyone who says that he or she does not vote and it's not political, please do not get that stimulus check. leave it right there in Washington, D.C. If you receive it, send it back. Because it was the efforts of people in Georgia, people like myself, and I'm just only one, a tiny, tiny, tiny part of it, but people who went out and knocked on doors and canvassed for you, not for the stimulus check alone, but for everything. So all the benefits that are now coming down the pike, step outside of it. Because you said that your vote, that you don't vote, and you're not political, and you're not interested in the system. So to me, that means that you're not a beneficiary. So to say, okay, I don't want the check. It should go to Susie down the street, who marched, who voted, who advocated for this country. Since I didn't do that, I shouldn't receive it. I feel very strongly about that. You can't have it both ways. You can't step outside and say, or be pro-Trump, or say that you're not part of the change that's happening, and then step in and say, okay, you want to benefit from it, because that isn't fair for those people who fought, who had their lives traumatized and terrorized in 2020 by these racists, so that we can have a better today and a better tomorrow. And I feel very, very strongly about that. So getting back to what's going on now, because of the fact that Georgia, people here in Georgia, and I'm so proud of people in Georgia, because Georgia not only, the people who voted here in Georgia to turn Georgia blue, that those actions did not only affect Georgia, it affected this country and the entire world. I was talking to a very close friend of mine today, and she said that her son had told her that the stock market went crazy today in a positive way, because this country now sees a change now that this man is gone. Things, the wheels of change are now in the air, the same way as people felt when the former President Barack Obama came into office. People felt a new day after George Bush. And so for all the people who are pro-Republican, you have a right to be that way. I definitely support your right. But under these presidents that have been Republican, see all of the setbacks that we have experienced. Under Trump, he tried to dismantle anything dealing with diversity. He was working on having the history books erase and eliminate anything that alluded to slavery. He was rewriting history. That was not benign. So, and then he touts himself about the clemency. Everyone that he gave clemency to, all of the people had served prison time. They were felons. I mean, not like stealing a cupcake, high-level felons. They had done despicable crimes, and he pardoned them. That's unbelievable. The things that this former president did were just very interesting. So I want people to really see that. Those who did not vote, had the people, other people felt like you, he would have still been in office. So your vote does matter. Georgia turned blue with less than 12,000 votes. Had the other people, and some of whom I know, had they voted, there would have been a larger margin. It wouldn't have been that close. And because Georgia is blue, and because this country is blue, I'm going to now tell you all the things that are now going to happen in terms of the improvements because of that. So the next time someone tells you that they didn't vote, just point them to all of the things that I'm going to show you tonight, which are historic. So I'm going to read something to you. Joe Biden's cabinet is set to make history. If all of his nominees are confirmed, 12 of the 24 offices he has designated as cabinet level would be held by women. That would break a record. Up until now, the most women to serve in these positions at once was 8. First during Bill Clinton's administration, and then again during Barack Obama's administration. What's more, under Biden, women will occupy three high-profile cabinet-level posts for the first time in history. Those posts include Vice President, Secretary of the Treasury, and Director of National Intelligence. An equal number of men and women in the cabinet is a rare accomplishment indeed. It would be the first gender-balanced cabinet in U.S. history. And it's rare globally, too. According to data from the Interparliamentary Union and UN Women, as of January the 1st, 2020, only 14 countries had cabinets or cabinet equivalents where at least half of the appointments were held by women. The U.S. would also be the largest of these countries by far. Biden's cabinet is also poised to reach another remarkable milestone. A majority of its members are not white, and many will break barriers by serving in their future role. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, for instance, would be the first black person and first South Asian American to serve as vice president. And Lloyd Austin would be the first black Secretary of Defense in American history. While Xavier Becerra and Alejandro Mayorkas would be the first Latinos to lead, respectively, the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Homeland Security. Meanwhile, Deb Haaland would be the first indigenous person to lead the Department of Interior. She's Native American, which includes the Bureau of Indian Affairs and has jurisdiction over all public lands, which Native Americans have been fighting the federal government over for centuries. And Council of Economic Advisors Chair Designate Cecilia Rouse, Office of Management and Budget Director Neera Tanden, and U.S. Trade Representative Designate Catherine Tai would also be the first women of color in their respective roles. In total, Biden's cabinet includes six black people, four Latinos, three Asian people, and one Native American. This all represents progress, to be sure, but some barriers still remain unbroken. For instance, the inner cabinet, the vice president, attorney general, and secretaries of state, defense, and treasury, who typically have the closest ties to the president, will still be three-fifths white and three-fifths male. And the most diverse part of Biden's cabinet would be the cabinet-level positions that are not part of the presidential line of succession, the bottom grouping of offices on the chart. So just because women and people of color are equal in number to men and white people does not mean they are equal in terms of influence. And even though Biden has appointed a historic number of women, they still struggle to gain a foothold in stereotypically male cabinet posts. We have still never had a female Secretary of Defense, a female Secretary of Veterans Affairs, or a female Chief of Staff. So I just wanted to be fair in terms of going over all of the positions that President Biden has appointed people. We have these positions are definitely, like I said, 12 out of 24 cabinet posts are women and people of color, and six African Americans. So the one closest to the president is the vice president, and she's African American and Southeast Asian. So she's right in line if should something happen to him. But the others are a little further down. However, it looks really promising because under Trump, none of that happened. It was abysmal. His record was abysmal. So So when we're looking at racism and we're looking at what we need to do, first of all, like I said, we have just come out of a period of extreme stress because of the pandemic. Like I said last week, it was planned in terms of this coronavirus, and it's still mutating. They don't even know the new strand. It seems like every other week is coming up with a new version of it. It was planned, and they even admitted it. So people were stressed about that. People are stressed because they've lost their jobs. People are stressed because they've had family members contract this ominous virus. They're stressed because they've had people cross over, transition because of the virus. And people are distressed because they didn't know what the future would entail. There were people, like I said last week, who were thinking about moving from this country should the former president been reelected. They were thinking about leaving because they just could not see a future under that kind of dictatorship and tyranny, because that's exactly what we experienced. And the thing that I think that was just so traumatic is that people saw it and Mitch McConnell approved it. There was nothing that the other people, the progressives, could do because he was in charge of the Senate. So people looking at the former president, but Mitch McConnell blocked the impeachment the first time. And it's interesting how he's diverted the attention away from himself and put it all on the former president, who could not have done any of that without the complicity from Mitch McConnell. So be very clear, Mitch McConnell, who is still in the Senate, is an issue. Be very clear, even though it's a split in the Senate, 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans, that Mitch McConnell can still engage in filibuster. And you need 60 votes in order to not engage in that. So still remain in the highest vibration for this country, because Mitch McConnell, and you just bless him, but that is the cancer that is still there. So just really, really, whatever your belief system is, see this country healing. We wish him the best. We wish the former president the best. We wish McConnell the best, Lindsey Graham the best, and whatever. Because what happens is, when you wish people the best, then they have to move on to the energy where they most likely would be well received. And like you saw with the attack in the Capitol last week, when you withdraw your energy, when you withdraw hate, anger, frustration, and worry from people who are operating in a low vibrational state, they turn on each other. So now the Republicans, who are lawmakers, are turning on each other. And what's happening, which is very, very promising, is that a lot of corporations are not backing Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and others. That's why McConnell is now backpedaling. He wouldn't backpedal at first because there was no pressure. But I belong to a lot of grassroots online organizations, and they send out petitions all the time, and hundreds of thousands of people are signing those petitions. And the donors are corporations that sell products to you. If you don't buy their products, they're out of business. These politicians, Mitch McConnell is not that important to them. Even though they would go in and have him lobby for them so they could get tax breaks, they still are not going to have their businesses go under because of the racism. So that's why he's backpedaling, not because he saw the light and he had a spiritual awakening. It was none of that. Be very clear. People in this country, be they Republicans, Democrats, independents, or whatever, a lot of the lawmakers are motivated by money. Not all, but a lot. And you need to see how these people vote. C-SPAN will show you exactly how they vote. Or just go online to see what their policies are. Do not support people just because they look like you or just because you like them personally. That has nothing to do with it. Look at their track record. And now what's happening is Perdue and Loeffler are targeting Reverend Warnock. They have backed away from John Ossoff, and I campaigned for both of them. They are attacking Reverend Warnock, and he only, in the Senate, No, he's a congressman, so he only has two more years, and then he's going to be up for re-election. So they're targeting him, and they're viciously targeting him because they see him as the weakest link. John Ossoff, like I said, is very wealthy, and they don't want to come against him. And Warnock is someone that they think that they can come against because they don't think that he has a strong base. And it's sadly mistaken, but that's what racism does. You know, people are racist, cannot really see what happened with Warnock. Warnock was having higher numbers than Ossoff, but their racism is not allowing them to see it. So continue to uplift him, surround him with protective energy and light, and contribute to his campaign, his future campaign, because he's going to have to start stockpiling his monies because they're going to come after him. And Perdue should be going after Ossoff, if anyone, because John Ossoff was his competitor. But he's not, because John Ossoff has money, and John Ossoff is Jewish, and he doesn't want to do that. George is very interesting. Loeffler and Perdue came together to attack Reverend Warnock. And John Ossoff is amazing. I've not seen him personally, but his commercials and just knowing his energy, he's just such a compassionate, warm young man. And he is the youngest, I think, congressman going to Congress. And he was groomed by John Lewis, John Ossoff was. And so he was also connected to Hank Johnson, who's a Democrat too, representative. He worked with both of them. So he's not a Johnny come lately. He's been involved with civil rights for a while, since he was 16. So John Ossoff is a man of integrity and of fortitude. And Reverend Warnock is also. He is a person that has a lot of integrity. He is, the 11th child out of a family of 12 children, and grew up in the housing projects, but has had integrity and has been in the trenches fighting for civil rights, equal opportunity for all people. And he is the pastor of Ebenezer, which is the church that Dr. King was the pastor of, and Dr. King's father. So both these men, please continue to support them. They are men who will support the rights of those who have been marginalized, and they are definitely going to champion our causes. And so also, you know that they've now targeted Stacey Abrams, the GOP, because they now see that Stacey Abrams is a force to be reckoned with. They didn't think so. It's interesting because racism had them dismiss her when all of us knew that she was. So we have dealt with a lot. It's a new day. It's a new day. When I moved to Georgia back in 1996, this was a very different Georgia than it was when I moved here. It was very red. Racism was paramount. It's still here. But people are thinking twice now, and they're feeling very insecure. And this isn't all, quote-unquote, Caucasians. These are the Tea Party, Proud Boys and Rednecks, and some black people who have bought into the racist ideology of the GOP. Vernon Jones is known as a person who flip-flops. So he's now declaring that he's Republican, which comes as no surprise because the Democratic Party had basically isolated him. So he had to go to a party where he could be a star, a shining star. So we wish him well. And we are thankful that he's decided to publicly align himself more with the party that will allow him to be who he is. So we wish him well. So now, if anyone would like to comment or add to anything that I've said, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And if you're on the board now and you would like to talk, you can press 1. And we are so very, very pleased at this inauguration, and I read all of the things that are happening in terms of the positions, but we cannot be complacent. The days for turning over our lives to other people are over. As I mentioned before, each of you, all of us, is responsible for our own future. Because everything, like I said in the first episode last week, you can no longer run to the doctor and turn over your health to the doctor because that access has changed. People, like I said before, are afraid to go to the hospitals because they may not come home. You can no longer run to anything, to the courthouses, because that's limited. You don't have access like that. So a lot of people are now taking charge of their lives. Educational system, same thing with your children. A lot of people were thinking about homeschooling their children, and they're kind of in that quasi-position now because they have to. Most here in Clayton County, where I live, the children are not going back to school. The children are being taught at home. They're doing remote learning. Someone just told me that my signal is off. I don't think so because I see. Let me just see. Greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you? This is Victoria.
Oh, greetings, Victoria. Wow. And I'm just sending this person a note to say that it isn't off. She said that the signal is off. Okay. So how are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to tell you how thankful I am that you have this kind of forum. I think that it's wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, I am a very big supporter of yours, so I appreciate that support. Thank you.
Yeah. I was watching the inauguration earlier today, and definitely I had a total sense of pride in seeing Kamala up there. That was just a wonderful thing to behold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was unable to see the whole, I couldn't see the whole thing because I don't have a television, so I just saw President Biden give his address, and then I heard the entertainers, but I didn't see the parade and everything. A friend of mine told me how beautiful that was and how heartwarming that was. And I think it's just really great because people are feeling empowered again. They're feeling just like when President Obama was first elected. It was just like, okay, after the Bush administration, which was a total beat up for 4 years, I mean 8 years, and we're blessed that we didn't have 8 years of this former person. We're so blessed because we had 8 years of Bush, and that was like trauma, major trauma. So.
But nothing like the trauma we've experienced these last 4 years.
Oh no! It was
even Bush. He makes Bush look like a little lamb. Actually.
Oh yeah. Oh definitely. Oh definitely. Because of these, Bush's policies were economically hurtful and painful, but he didn't have the level of.
He wasn't malicious.
Yeah, the level of hate. And the level of just being disconnected and just dismantling everything on his path. He tries to dismantle in 4 years everything that this country had built up for at least 50 years in terms of civil rights, any progress in terms of the environment, in terms of civil rights, in terms of human rights, in terms of the educational system. He was just going through it to lash out and just destroy everything. And to have it
and
become
I'm just
a
so happy that there was no, demonstrations or anything that might have happened a couple of weeks ago at the Capitol. I'm so glad that that didn't happen. And honestly, I was really feeling in my heart that it would not happen. And I feel it's because even though 70 million plus voters voted for Trump. Those 70 million, they voted because they were Republicans, a lot of them, but they weren't necessarily Trumpsters. So they're not into violence. They are into democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that there was no violence today kind of, promotes the fact that most of the people who voted for him, they are not violent people. They're not.
Well, some some of the people of the Trumpsters, some of their family members turned them in. I know one of the mothers turned his son in. I mean, they were turning him in. They were like, no, we don't uphold this kind of craziness.
Yeah, and plus the people there, they came off really kind of ignorant. I mean, they were telling you who they were, pretty much where they lived and how you could find them. Who wants to follow people like that? That was an embarrassment to the Republicans, I'm sure.
Yeah, they were streaming. But the reason, my conjecture is this. They didn't think anything would happen to them because they had seen how bold their leader was. He was very bold. And he gave them the assurance that he would protect them. And it's interesting, he didn't pardon, to my knowledge, any of them. He only pardoned the people who paid him. They said they can't connect him to the money. But, the money went into some accounts, so he's going to eventually benefit from. They had 30 or 40 little people.
I don't think he pardoned any of them because he thought it would probably hurt this impeachment coming up if he had.
Yeah. Really. So now, because they were just so sure he would pardon them, not one.
He's trying to keep his hands clean right now.
With the people he pardoned
is
notorious.
No. I'm just talking about the people who called that insurrection a couple of weeks ago. He's trying to keep his hands clean away from them.
And see, that's the thing. Racism is so interesting because they should see how they've been had, because that's the typical energy that he projects. People who think that they are closest to him are not. He didn't even pardon his family. So now they are all up for any kind of investigation or fines or being jailed.
I think that would have hurt him too, as far as the impeachment is concerned, if he had pardoned his family.
But if he was so close to his daughter that he supposedly is so close to, because with these other people, that all the pardons he gave should definitely hurt him, because those people were notorious felons. They were felons. But he didn't care because they were paying. They paid them. And that's what's so interesting. If people, particularly people of color, don't get anything else from this, if they can't see how ruthless and how corrupt this whole system was, every constitutional law, everything the man broke. So this is basically collusion, coercion, and you pay me and I will look out for you. So, but it's a new day.
Yes. I've been singing "Oh Happy Day" all day. Oh Happy Day. Yes, absolutely. Ding dong. Dick is dead. I'm sorry.
No, but I'm happy that people could see, because a lot of people, particularly white people, African Americans, were trying to tell people who were Caucasian, who may have been their friends or colleagues or whatever, this is really a racist country. No, it couldn't be. You had a black president, you got black people who are billionaires, you got Beyonce. They point to these superficial things, right? No, but racism is systemic. It's just like if you buy a fruit from the store that's grown in soil that's not organic. You can use an organic wash, but the fruit is still contaminated because the soil was contaminated. So you can try to wash it off, but it's not going to happen. So having these appointments, President Barack Obama, but he talks about in his book, the audio book that I'm listening to, he said Mitch McConnell blocked everything he tried to put forth. So even though we symbolically had a black president, he couldn't do anything because Mitch McConnell blocked him. So the same thing with this. People now are seeing how insidious this system is. And Mitch McConnell has been around for a long time. People better keep their eye on him because he's deflecting now. He's deflecting on Trump and everybody else. He's the one to watch. He is the one to watch. Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham are the two to watch. And to watch and to make sure when you vote, look at the attorney generals in your state. Look at your state representatives. because people focus on the presidential election. The president really doesn't have that much power. It's the people under him or her. Look at those these local elections, and that's why Stacey Abrams has her eye on that gubernatorial race, because those offices are the ones, the states are the ones that have the most power. The national office doesn't have that much power. So look at those state elections. Go out to vote and look at these people and their track records. Just because they look like you, like I'm in Clayton County, and the representative for Clayton County to me, his record is abysmal. It's awful.
Well, we'll have more power now on the national level since we have the two Democrats from Georgia. Barack Obama didn't have what Biden is going to have working for
exactly. And I've told people, President Obama could not do everything. People are like, well, he could have done it. I said, no, he couldn't. He could do what he did, and then that opened the door for Joe Biden to make these kinds of appointments for more than he was able to make. And then after Biden and Kamala Harris, this another progressive person can do more than they could do. So it's the stages. So people like, they want to dump everything on one person. He could have done this. I said, you don't understand how this thing worked. It's an onion. You have to do it in stages, and then if you don't have the support underneath, there's nothing that you can do, because you have to get the votes from the people underneath.
Exactly. But now we have the support underneath. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm really, really excited about this new administration, and I'm behind them 100%. And once again, before I leave, though, I just want to thank you for the forum and for being able to be heard, and it's a beautiful thing. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Ms. Victoria, and we're going to have you on in the future, too, because Victoria Peoples is a wonderful singer, actress, and comedian. So she was on our show. It had to have been over a year ago, because I haven't been on the air since 2019.
It's been a minute.
So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, it was over a year and a half ago, because I took a year and a half off. So thank you, Ms. Victoria, and I will talk to you later on tonight.
All right. Namaste.
Okay, love. Namaste.
Bye.
We have another caller. Greetings.
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Hi, Alice. How are you?
I am magnificent. And hi to Victoria. I remember when she was on, and she was singing Oh Happy Day, and I was singing, Can't You Feel a Brand New Day? Can't You Feel a Brand New Day? That's what I was singing today. Yes. And I so appreciated what you just imparted to us about, you know, where we've been, reminded us, you know, what we've been through and how we've got this victory, but how we must be vigilant.
Yes.
And remember,
not
like you
fall
said,
asleep.
Remain
awake.
Our main focus is to stay focused. And even though we have the Senate 50-50, like you said, McConnell can filibuster.
Yes.
And there has to be 60%. So we really, really must learn how this system works.
Yes.
And I so appreciate what the information you gave, and just reminding us. And we are elated, but we cannot fall asleep.
Yes. That's the thing. And what happens is people, just like going to the doctor, you give the doctor, you know, the doctor's going to heal me. No. You have to heal yourself. The doctor is a co-partner with you. You can't give up your power like that. The days for giving up your power and acquiescing are over. We should have learned. That's the thing I am so thankful to Trump for. He showed you, if you don't take control of your life, I would just run ransack over you. I would take away everything. If you're asleep, I'm just going to go through it and just destroy everything. And so I'm thankful for him, because people are like, we got to pay attention to this man, because this is crazy. Yeah. He shook the tree. And I'm like, I'm glad he shook the tree, because people have been telling people all along, you're going to have to be very active in your life, not just in terms of politics, in terms of your health, in terms of your children's education, your education, your spiritual life. You're going to have to stop depending on the preacher, the minister, the babalawos, the imams, the rabbis. They cannot pray you if out of anything if you're not praying for yourself. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work.
This was absolutely a wake-up, shake-up call.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And if you didn't get it, then maybe you'll get it next time, if there is a next time.
Oh, yeah. And as we evolve, going to the fifth dimension, we're just going to leave people down in third dimension, because now you know. And you can choose to do it differently, or you can choose to have people continue to control you.
Right.
Yeah.
Give away your power. If you want to give away your power and let other people keep your power, then that you have a right to do that.
You do. And don't complain. I'm telling people, if they complain, did you vote? I said, you have nothing to say. Did you vote? No. Give me your stimulus check.
I know.
You didn't vote for it. Okay?
No.
You didn't vote for it. So therefore, it means that you shouldn't have affordable health care. All the things that these votes have put in place, it means that you don't want to participate in it. So I'm like, I'm okay with that. I am so okay if you don't vote. I'm okay with it. But you should not be the beneficiary of the efforts of those of us who did vote and who worked hard to have this outcome be a reality. I'm very strong about that. So I'm asking people, I know, did you vote? Okay. That means that you don't, if you're older, you shouldn't be receiving Social Security. You shouldn't be receiving any of those benefits.
I hear you. But I just had to pipe in and say thank you for what you do. And this was just really enlightening, and what you told us about the cabinet members. And it's a very historic day. It's a blessed day, and we are all blessed. And
we are so blessed, yes. And we just have to know that there's only one for me, and I know for you, Allison, from Victoria. No matter how bleak things are, there's only one CEO, and I'm not religious, and that's the creator of the universe.
Right.
No matter how much people try to steal, kill, maneuver, cheat, and whatever, see, what was the outcome? It all backfired.
Right.
Because people of all races, of all belief systems, of all ethnicities, religions, they said no. So when people say the 70 million, I said, but there were 80 million who didn't fall for it. So there are 10 million more people to count to balance that. Because the 70 million who believe in that system, they have a right to believe in it, but there are 80 million people who say, you can't impose your beliefs on us. So like the Proud Boys talking about, you can't impose your... No, but you can't impose your beliefs on us either.
Right.
10 million people, more people are saying, no, that's not going to work. So that's what we have to hold on to. I'm going to get more into that in other shows. Pray once, meditate often. Never, ever, listeners, do not give up your power, your sovereignty. Do not believe the fear that they're trying to perpetuate and impose upon you. Fear is false evidence appearing real. It is not real. Do not believe it. You see how 10 million more, 80 million people didn't believe it, and this is the reason why we're now restoring the rights that the other person had tried to tried to reverse the hands of time and turn back the clock, and it didn't happen. We wish that person well, go on with this life along with the others, you know. But this is the energy of change now, the energy of love, of compassion, of equality, of inclusion.
Yes.
And not of marginalization. So I thank you, my beloved Alice and my beloved Victoria, and all of those of you who have tapped in and tuned in, and we will be back next Wednesday. And have a great rest of the week. And if you need to get in touch with me for my services or whatever, my number is 770-882-7347. Again, my number is 770 888-782-7347. I'm Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am a holistic life coach, and I do very interesting work in terms of helping you become empowered in a very holistic way. And it works. Okay, until next week, namaste. I'm going to go out with a change is going to come. It's already here.
As far back as our being can remember, the spirit moved and it changed. It began to emanate, vibrate, create, and formate. And it remained eternal, manifesting through perpetuity, infinity. There was no weapon, nothing formed against it. So it's important to recognize the power of time and purpose. It's important to accept it. Respect it, and is as simple as seed time and harvest. Meditate on seeds that are planted. Your seeds, my seeds, are designed to grow. When we ground them, let's leave them alone for a time. Imagine if we did. Imagine if we disturbed the foundation. The seedling has nothing to hold on to, nothing to latch on to. Imagine the pyramids moved. They moved when I moved, separating us through time, moving and turning and twisting under pressure. That's because life as we know it resists the fullness of the truth, even while longing for it. The pyramids are wisdom beyond man's understanding, and they are true. The anointing of the truth is a cleanser. Let the truth flow through you. It's the truth, the uncanny truth that leads us toward overstanding. Yes, overstanding, because the self-existent one is under nothing. Yeah. Meditating is the key. Worshiping is the key to that key. Standing still gets us to the all-encompassing door of a revelation washed in and through us. Hey, I'm accepted by freedom to move from the outer court to the inner court and beyond the veil, so they say. I am a vessel, and so are you. He wants us to understand. Oh, no. Overstand. I am you, and you are me. Listen, you are him. So your five senses must move. Get out of the way and make way for the truth. The only thing constant is change. And we were put here to lay the foundation for change. Trust it. Believe it. Hey, know it. It's time. This is it.